Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one of our show, and I am really excited about this one because we have our old friend Dustin Schutte with us. Dustin has been covering the Big Ten in one shape, form, or another for quite a while. Dustin, welcome back to the show. How long has it been?
Thanks, Jim. It's been over a year, I think, it's been since we've last talked. It's been a while, so hopefully this still goes really well. We used to have a lot of really fun shows doing this.
Well, it's not like anything's been going on in the last year, Dustin. I mean, what do we got? We got the transfer portal, we got name, image, likeness, we got a 12-team playoff, we got teams changing conferences, we got the Pac-12 going away. We have conference divisions going away. What else has changed? The playoffs now, our players are unionizing. Yeah. Nothing's happened much in the last year or so, has it?
No, I think I've been under a rock, you know, to see all these changes come back out. It has been crazy how much things have changed college athletics, not just on the football side, basketball, every sport. In like the last 18 months, I made the joke because when I temporarily stepped away from covering the Big Ten on a permanent basis, I said, well, I left the covering the league for 1 month and all hell broke loose. And so now hopefully that I'm covering it again, maybe we'll get it back together.
So it's your fault. We could blame you for everything that happened. Before we get into some things, I always love talking to you because we'd get that Big Ten perspective. But before we get there, could you tell our listeners where you are now, what you're doing, and where they could find your work?
Yeah, so I work for Hoosiers Now, but I am primarily a Big Ten writer. So it's the sportsillustratedsi.com/college/Indiana page, but most of my work, while I do cover a lot of Indiana and then Purdue, a lot of my work can be found under the Big Ten tab on that website. So that is my primary job right now, and I love every second of it.
Well, you're back where you belong, Dustin, covering a Big Ten sports. I want to talk to you Big Ten football specifically. Let's start with this. With all of those changes and so much to talk about, let's start with the new teams, the West Coast teams entering the fray. Now, this has been a conference that it's always been a Midwest conference. We Penn Staters are still considered outsiders.
Yeah, sure.
Now, all of a sudden, you have West Coast teams becoming part of it. First, let me ask you about the pecking order in the league. It's always been Ohio State, then Michigan until the last couple of years, then Penn State. Where do these West Coast teams fit in the pecking order?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of hard because I think you look at teams like a team like USC and you would say traditional type blue blood status, that might be a program that you'd put near the upper echelon. And I think you could make the argument for that. But in terms of recent success, I think you'd have to put Oregon and then obviously Washington into that category as well. And I think Oregon may be the most prominent because they've been successful just about under every head coach. Dan Lanning signed a new contract. He plans on staying at Oregon, it seems like, for a long time. Washington was obviously just in the national championship game, went 14-1 last season, but they lost a lot. And then Kalen DeBoer takes the job at Alabama. So I don't know that I'm quite ready to put them in the upper echelon. And then UCLA, I feel like would be maybe in that middle tier, but they've been a dumpster fire. Chip Kelly leaves the head coaching job to be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. So it's been very interesting. I still think you can put probably in that conversation with Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. I think you can put USC, and I think you can put Oregon in there just because of their history. I'm really curious to see where Washington fits in because that's a program that does have some history. They're coming off a successful run. At the same time, they lost a lot, so it's going to be intriguing to me to see how they fit in. And then UCLA, I feel like that's going to be bottom to middle tier. I just don't have a lot of optimism about where UCLA is going to fit in with this conference.
Well, if you see where they're fitting in those recruiting standings, it's not like there's more talent coming in. And Chip Kelly doesn't seem like he's really enthusiastic about that recruiting part or the transfer portal part. Anything with talent acquisition doesn't seem to be part of Chip Kelly's forte.
No, and I think we found that out with the Philadelphia Eagles as well. So,
you know, that is a little bit of a sensitive area for me there because I'm an Eagles guy. I didn't want to bring it up. I was staying away from it. But yes, one could use the Eagles as an example of his lack of ability in acquiring talent. Now, you're more the Midwest guy, obviously, compared to us here, us Penn State folks. Like I said when we started, we still at Penn State kind of feel like the redheaded stepchild of this conference, okay? There's still that feeling. And so it was pretty obvious how the rest of the teams in the conference felt when Penn State first arrived. It's 30 years ago, and it's still that feeling of being the outsider. What's the Midwest reaction to West Coast teams coming in?
I feel like the people I talk to, and this is going to be more of a nostalgic type feeling, I guess, in that we like the Big Ten the way it was, right? We liked it when it was just the Midwestern teams, throw in Penn State. Nebraska was a nice addition because you still had that Midwestern group, and it just felt like it worked. And now you're throwing in four West Coast teams, and certainly from the financial standpoint, I get it. Now you're coast to coast. You're in California. You're in Seattle. You're obviously, you've got the addition of Maryland and Rutgers recently, recently. It's been 10 years, Jim. Jeez. but you're going coast to coast with some of this stuff. And so I think they understand from a financial standpoint and making it a stronger conference. And I think that the reason people are okay with it in the Midwest is because we've gotten so tired and of hearing just about how superior the SEC is. And the fact that they were able to add major programs like Texas and Oklahoma, I think Big Ten fans are happy now that they're going to have four new schools, UCLA, USC, Washington, and Oregon, that can kind of go up and compete to make the conference even stronger and compete with the SEC and maybe not constantly get the drum being pounded by ESPN and some of those other networks. But I think a lot of the traditionalists are like, really? Now we got to go to California to play football. Now we got to stay up until 11:30 at night to see a tip off between, Northwestern and UCLA on the basketball court. It's going to be crazy. And I think, too, this is something we won't get into, but man, how some of these other sports are going to work, volleyball, softball, baseball, football's an easy one tripper, but some of these other sports, it's going to be crazy to see how they work out scheduling. That's one aspect of this whole thing I'm really interested to see how it works out.
And by the way, I hope your Midwest sensibilities won't be too offended, but those West Coast teams, I heard they use this newfangled kind of offense where they use the forward pass. Are you guys going to be okay with that?
They're not going to run three yards in a cloud of dust type of offense. It's not, man. I'm upset. Well, I don't know if you knew, I grew up a Purdue fan. And so I am very familiar because Joe Tiller brought that style of offense from Wyoming to West Lafayette. So I got rid of the, we went straight from Mike Allstott to Drew Brees, basically. So I've been up to speed with this offense for the last 30 years now.
Speaking of culture shock, that had to be for Purdue, but that was always a fun offense and a fun team to watch. It really was. Well, you mentioned, like scheduling and what's going to happen with the other sports. Let's talk about that for a little bit, but I do want to start with football. And you and I were talking before we started recording. I'm not the biggest fan of the Big Ten Conference, the administration, the commissioner, just anything to do with the front office, no, I'm not happy with them. With that said, Dustin, the one thing I thought they did a great job is with the schedule. And they did it first when it was just USC and UCLA coming in, maintaining rivalry games, doing that, not punishing anybody with the schedule. And now they added Washington and Oregon, had to do the schedule all over again. And you and I were looking at the schedule, and we're both looking at it right now. And what I thought they did such a great job at is really limiting how many coast-to-coast trips teams have to make. I looked at it like Oregon, UCLA, and USC each make three long-distance road trips, and they're spaced out. There's no trips like that back-to-back. And I think most of the Midwest and East teams, they have it where they make one West Coast trip a year. So I thought they, especially for football, they really did a good job with the schedule.
You know why, Jim? It's because they don't want to pay that per diem for those long trips and those long flights is what I think. But no, I think you bring up a good point. And just because I'm on the cover Indiana, you said they didn't really punish anybody. I know nobody in Pennsylvania is going to care about this, but if you look at Indiana's schedule, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, and then Purdue, whew, good luck, Hoosiers, and first-year coach Kirk Cignetti. But I think you're right. I think by and large, what they did a good job of doing with this schedule is balancing out, hey, we need some premier matchups. We need to get, we need to make sure Fox, NBC, Peacock, CBS, all these networks that we have agreements with are going to get a lot of primetime games, really good matchups that fans are going to want to tune into and get their money's worth. But at the same time, you're not seeing Ohio State play Penn State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, and you're not seeing that in back-to-back weeks. Like, they're not just skull-crushing these teams. So I think you're right. I agree with you. They did a really good job of balancing out the schedule, not making teams have to travel too much over the course of a season. So I think that they did a really good job of that. And I had some questions about that. And there's one other point I want to bring up with the scheduling, and we might get to this a little bit later, and it comes to the terms of divisions. I did the math. There is a possibility, although low, we could have three undefeated teams, and I would like to know what the Big Ten is going to do with the two-team championship. If there was ever going to be three teams totally undefeated, I, as a fan of chaos, I want to see it because I think it would. I guarantee the Big Ten has absolutely no plan in place, just like the 2020 COVID-19 season.
You know what, Dustin? I think you were reading my notes. Because I did want to talk about some kind of scheduling quirks that could possibly happen. And I'll tell you what, we are at the end of quarter number one. We are going to start quarter number two with exactly that conversation. Stay tuned for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante with our special guest today, Mr. Dustin Schutte. We've calculated it has to be over a year since we've been on together, so it's great to have you back. Dustin is really good giving us the entire Big Ten perspective. We obviously look at things from the Penn State angle, the correct angle. He looks at it from the Big Ten angle, and we just tolerate him. So please live with that. Anyway, Dustin, when we finished up quarter number one, brought up a great point. Now, the Big Ten has gotten rid of divisions. So you have, what, 18 teams now. So you obviously had a 9-game schedule, conference schedule. So you're only playing essentially half the teams. Right. And if you do the calculations, as our friend Dustin did, it could work out with three undefeated teams that you somehow have to figure out, well, two of them get to play in the conference championship game. my question was going to be in that tiebreaker scheme was more that same kind of thing could happen for second place also. You could have, I'll say, you know, Ohio State, for example, being 8-1, and then you could have 3-4 teams, 7-2, and you got to find one, decide with the tiebreaker who's going to have to play Ohio State in that conference championship game. And I'm going to also, part two of that question, though, Dustin, is this. If you're one of those three teams with two losses, why would you want to even play in that conference championship game? With two losses, you're going to the playoffs. If you risk that third loss in the conference championship game, oh well.
That's a really good point, and one I hadn't thought about. That second place, that's way more interesting than I think even the – because the scenario I painted is so slim, I just want to see it from a chaotic standpoint. In terms of second place, that's a really good question. Yeah, why would you want to play in that if you have two losses and you're running the risk of playing a third? It almost reminds me, and I think this Penn State fans will remember this well, of that 2016 season where was it everybody, Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, I don't remember how it all played out. Obviously, Penn State went to the Big Ten championship game and won, but all three of them could have ended with the same Big Ten record, all three having beaten one another. Michigan beating Penn State, Penn State beating Ohio State, Ohio State beating Michigan. It, like, my head hurts so bad. I had to make so many phone calls trying to figure out how that tiebreaker situation was going to work. And I think it had something to do with the records among common opponents or something along that.
Well, here's – because it theoretically could have happened this season, Dustin. Michigan, of course, ended up undefeated. Ohio State, one loss to Michigan, and Penn State, two losses to both those teams. Had Penn State beaten Michigan, so there would have been the round robin of losses. Yeah. The tiebreaker was, well, head-to-head, well, they, you know, still tied. Record within the division, obviously they beat up everybody else in within the division. Then it was the record of your opponent in the other division. So you actually had Penn State rooting for the teams that they played in the other division, which is ridiculous. It's like, right. You know, go Illinois, you know.
Which, that never – and I think the thing I like about no divisions, and I think there might be a little bit of chaos in terms of who you're going to find for that second-place team, there, or there could be at least. There's potential there. But I think one of the things that I really like, and I never understood why they did this in the first place, I always believed that your record in the division should have been what mattered in terms of who goes – to the Big Ten championship game. And this didn't matter in the Big Ten East. I'm speaking more traditional Midwest with the Big Ten West and the cluster mess that was every single year. But it never made sense to me that you would do holistically because Iowa would get like Maryland, Indiana, and Michigan State. Meanwhile, Wisconsin, because of TV ratings, would have to play Ohio State, Michigan, and then, oh, yeah, we'll throw you Rutgers, right? So that's the one thing I like about not having divisions. But, yeah, I don't know how they're going to do this tiebreaker. I'm sure it'll come down to something with common opponents or overall record or points for and against. I don't know. I haven't looked into the rule book yet. I'm not ready for that headache. But at some point before the season starts, I need to dive into that because I'm sure – there's a potential. I'm impressed that you came up with that scenario, Jim. That's something I had not thought of. I was just all thinking about this, you know, three team, no losses, just total, you know, hypothetical not happening. That your situation is way more legitimate and could potentially happen and cause some chaos. And I think the question you pose, why play in that game if it's going to risk a third loss, especially, you know, if you think you've got a locked up spot in the playoff? Woof. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's going to come down to, like, those conference championship games. There are folks saying, why are they even doing them anymore? Well, money, okay? That's correct. Usually the answer to most things. And they talk about, I shouldn't say that fans wouldn't care in the Big Ten if there's not a conference championship game. I'm sure, you know, if your team finishes second, you want a chance to knock off number one and, right, you know, win the conference championship. The Southeast Conference, they say it's a big deal there, especially money-wise, financially. But it's going to be that balancing act. What do the conferences care more about, making an extra dollar or getting another team into the playoffs? And the Southeast Conference, they always balanced it by never having Alabama play Georgia in the regular season.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think, too, you're going to get to – so let's talk about the finances of this, because this is also intriguing to me. I feel like over time – so if the Big Ten gets more teams in the playoff, that's obviously going to mean more money in the pocketbook anyway, right? But what's interesting to me from like a ticket sales standpoint is – for the most part, over the last, I don't know, 3-4 years, the Big Ten championship game probably would have been Michigan and Ohio State. Are there, yes, a lot of people paying to go to Indianapolis to rewatch that game if both of your teams are in the playoff? Are you saving that money to go to the Rose Bowl, to go to the Orange Bowl, or to go to your home playoff game? Like, I think that's where it's an interesting question. Are you going to start to see, probably not immediately, but in some of these situations, are you going to start to see like half-empty stadiums? Because as you pointed out, maybe teams just don't care. Now, if it's a Penn State that hasn't been there in 8-9 years and their playoff berth is riding on it, yeah, fans are going to go because it might be the last time they get to see it. They haven't seen the conference championship. But if it's Michigan, who's been there the last 3 years, I don't know that they're going to that game.
All logic tells you the fact that they got rid of divisions, first of all, you know, so you should have a conference, again, the scenario that I painted, you know, Ohio State is 8-1 and three other teams are 7-2. We've got a conference champion. It was Ohio, yeah, State. We already settled that during the regular season. And the scenario you painted, if I've got three undefeated teams who obviously are all going to go to the playoffs and we obviously care about that more, let's have co-champions, okay?
Right.
And you take one more game away because that it should be a factor. It may not be because it's money, but do you really want these teams playing? What will it end up being if you have to go all the way through the playoffs? You're going to be playing, what, 17, 18 games?
Right.
How about just getting rid of that conference championship game?
Right. And I think that they're keeping it around for that incentive to get home field advantage. But if you're an undefeated Big Ten in that first round, but if you're an undefeated Big Ten team, are you not going to be one of the top four seeds anyway? Or a one-loss Big Ten team? I think they would be. I still think they'd be a top four seed, and it'd be a moot point.
Well, only the conference champion gets seeded. That second, right, team won't be. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Hypothetically, Ohio State and Michigan are undefeated going into their traditional last game, and Ohio State wins that game on a last-second field goal, but it's pretty obvious these are the two best teams in the country. Ohio State wins it. They're going to be seeded number one. Michigan will not be seeded, even if they're ranked second. They won't be seeded second or third or fourth. They'll be seeded fifth.
Right. Well, that's a good point. Yeah. They would still, I guess they'd still get a home game at least. So, yeah, I mean, that there is some incentive there to still play in that game. It's just very interesting. I don't know. Here's what they should do. If your situation, let's just, for the sake of simplicity, let's just narrow down your scenario here to say it's two teams fighting for second place. So we got Penn State. Let's say Michigan win, they're undefeated, and you got Penn State and Ohio State, both with, I don't know, two losses. Why don't we have those two teams play in not a championship game, but they'll just meet Lucas Oil Stadium, and then one of those two teams will get another bid another automatic bid into the playoff or something along those lines. That'd be way more entertaining.
It would be, but at that point, though, with a 12-team playoff, Ohio State 10-2, Penn State 10-2, Michigan undefeated or one loss, all three teams would be making the playoff. Again, it's that scenario where playing that extra game,
mm-hmm,
is the penal your penal going to penalize whoever loses that game?
Right.
And I think that's the thing where these conferences have to figure it out. And it may even be, you know, it leads us to this conversation of the 14-team playoff that they're talking about.
Right.
Where the SEC and the Big Ten each want three automatic bids. Then all of a sudden what happens at the top, if I lose that conference championship game, doesn't matter because I'm going to get one of the three automatic bids.
And I don't know, is it just, have they discussed, is this going to be just the top three teams in the conference I would assume are going to get the automatic bids? I don't like the idea of automatic bids outside of a conference championship because I think it gets too complex and convoluted, but that's just me. I certainly understand those conferences from the standpoint of we want as much money. We're the ones who drive college football. We're the ones with the biggest brands. We have Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma, USC, Penn State. We've got the biggest brands, so I understand why they want the most teams in there. I just don't like the concept of awarding an automatic bid to the top three teams. I think it should just go to a conference champion, but it's, again, moot point because those three teams would definitely get in.
Well, I definitely agree with you on that one. We're going to pick up that point when we get back. That is it for quarter number two. Stay tuned. Lots more to talk about. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Schutte. Dustin writes for the Big Ten about the Big Ten in general, so it's always great to get his perspective on things. And Dustin, I actually wanted to circle back to something you talked about in the very first segment, and it's an interesting question. We talked about scheduling for football, and you play a grand total of 12 games. The Big Ten did a pretty good job with football scheduling too. I think most of the Midwest and East teams only make one West Coast trip. And I think typically the four West Coast teams, I think three out of the four, they only make three trips to the Midwest or to the East Coast. So they tried to control it pretty well. The problem's going to be with every other sport involved. It's going to be a crazy schedule. In Big Ten basketball, how many games do they play? How much traveling will UCLA and USC and Washington and Oregon have to do to play basketball or any of the other sports?
Right. And I think the easy ones for me to kind of digest and explain here would be basketball, obviously, and then volleyball, because you don't like baseball and softball, you go usually for, it's a 3-day weekend, you know, it's a yeah, series. So you'll go out there and it makes sense to be able to do that for a weekend, or, you know, swimming and diving or track and field, a lot of that stuff, or wrestling even, you know, you can have invitationals, you can have tournaments that last a weekend to where it makes sense in terms of travel. But volleyball, you just usually go out there for one day, right? For one contest. You just, same thing with basketball. You go out there for one game, one contest. One of the things that I thought was interesting, I think this was presented last summer. I heard Purdue basketball coach Matt Painter bring it up. It was basically you're going to have travel partners at some point to make these trips easier. So Penn State might have a travel partner in Maryland, and they say, okay, both of us are playing basketball. On Wednesday night, Penn State is playing UCLA, and Rutgers is playing USC. On Saturday, they're going to swap. And then they're going to meet back up in at LAX or wherever they're flying in, you know, wherever they're flying into and out of. Then they're going to head back to their respective wherever they flew out of. That part makes a lot of sense to me. But you're also talking about a cross-country trip during the middle of the week, and these kids are still student-athletes, which I know, with the expansion, academics and all this stuff went out the window a long, long time ago. But I got to think, over the course of a college basketball or a college volleyball season, that's got to get tiresome for the student-athletes, for the coaches, just everybody involved, now that you're including the West Coast. Because at least beforehand, it was manageable. But now, and maybe for some of those Midwest teams like Nebraska, Iowa, maybe it's not too bad to go to the West Coast. But when you look at Maryland, Rutgers, and Penn State having to fly clear across the country, I know that they're not going to do it very often, but even once or twice is going to be a big ask.
I got to believe that, yes, they have to consolidate the travel somehow, that you never travel to USC without also traveling to UCLA. You know, you have to be able to hit both of those in one trip. I also wondered how much, and I think it's the Ivy League, don't they play, I believe, on Friday night and Sundays?
Yeah.
I think. So that it reduces how much academic time. So do you have not just, you know, travel partners, like you said, but if you're a West Coast team, do you travel, play Penn State Friday night, and then play Rutgers on Sunday afternoon, so that in essentially one weekend, you get at least two games in there? Or do you even, you know, do something with a pod where, you know, Maryland, Rutgers, Penn State, and then USC, UCLA travel in? Maybe they all meet in Philadelphia and play a round robin there over a 4 or 5 day period where, hey, USC, UCLA with one trip could get four games in. And for Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland, Philadelphia is a good location. You know, Penn State already tries to play a game a year in Philadelphia anyway, at the Palestra.
Yeah.
And Dustin, if you've never seen a basketball game at the Palestra, put it on your bucket list. It's the mecca of college hoops, okay? But anyway, I wonder if they could do some kind of thing, like pod thing like that.
I think they have to get creative. And by the way, the Palestra and also a Penn State whiteout are on my bucket list, so hopefully we can make that happen at some point. But I think that you're right. I don't know if having that sort of multi-team event is the correct answer, but I do think that they've got to get creative. And maybe they could do, you know, even something where it could be, as you mentioned, maybe it's at the Palestra, maybe it's at Madison Square Garden or whatever, but hey, Washington and Oregon are coming in. We're going to have Penn State and Maryland here. And like you said, maybe just so you have to do it for 1 week, we're going to play these and they're going to be back-to-back. We're going to sell tickets on Friday and Sunday, all four teams in one arena over a 3-day weekend, whatever the case might be. I think that that's something that they could do. So I think that you have a really good idea there. I don't know, because right now I believe in college basketball, you can only have one multi-team event per season. But because of the expansion and because of the travel concerns, they might be willing to tweak that a little bit and say, you know what, if it's within conference play, maybe we'll allow a multi-team event, especially if it's not really a tournament setup, if it's just more of a, hey, we want to get your conference games in and make it as easy as possible.
And if you do, and again, I'll bring up the Palestra, one of the greatest things in Philadelphia, they would play doubleheaders at the Palestra. So you might see St. Joe's playing Villanova, and then the next game is, you know, LaSalle Temple. And it's fantastic. And if you're a fan, hey, you get two games, you attend once, and
right,
you get a couple games in. I think they can make it something attractive in that way, Dustin.
Oh, I think so, too. I mean, I think when you – these multi-team events have been, at least in my opinion, been widely successful. Now, sometimes it gets to the point where, obviously, if you're in the Maui Invitational, not everybody's going to be able to afford that kind of trip. But if you're talking about the Palestra and you're including teams that are in that region and you're bringing in, like I said, if you're bringing in an Oregon team that's pretty good, or if you're bringing in, and then you can bring in outside conferences and say, hey, you know what, we're going to do, you know, maybe Thursday and Saturday is going to be the big, those are going to be the four Big Ten games. And then guess what? We're going to have on Friday and Sunday, we're going to have four Big East games on those 2 days. Almost like an NCAA tournament type of setup. You're not maybe necessarily playing a tournament style, but just in terms of the sessions and how it works. Man, we're brainstorming some really good ideas here today, Jim. We got to send this in. The basketball fan in me would love to see like four Big Ten games and then four Big East games all within a four-day stretch. Man, that would be a lot of fun.
Well, and here's the thing, though. We're looking at this from a fan's perspective. Mm-hmm. Now, I lived in Philadelphia for a lot of years and went to the Palestra all the time. Loved it. What a great venue and great to watch. But there are plenty of places, and you talk about in the Big Ten territory, yep, some of the places where you play the NCAA tournament games in Indianapolis or in Minneapolis, right? That's where the Big Ten, yep, conference tournament's going to be this year, right? How about instead of, you know, on Minnesota's campus, but in Minneapolis,
right?
You know, at a larger venue. And you bring in, it becomes an event then that as a fan, you're saying, hey, I get to see all of these teams. That's a lot of fun. And, I can see that. You probably know the venues better than I do in Big Ten, you know, turf territory. But there's probably some great venues to do this at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just at the basketball arenas, you got the Target Center in Minneapolis. You've got Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. You could do the United Center, although I've got gripes about the United Center in Chicago. I think it's too far away from anything. But, yeah, I mean, I think there's spots in Omaha, Nebraska. You could probably do it. I don't remember the name of the venue there, but I think that there's one where they're hosting the NCAA tournament there. So you could do that. There's a lot of different possibilities. You got I think it used to be the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. I don't know what it's called now. These arenas change every 3 or 4 years, it seems now. You can incorporate St. Louis. They've got the Enterprise Center. Like, there are a lot of different places. Illinois and Missouri play there, I think, every year. They've got some sort of contract for a number of years. But so there's a lot of different venues, whether it's ice hockey, you know, primarily ice hockey venues or NBA basketball venues. There's a lot of different places you can go around and find locations to do this stuff. And it doesn't have to be like Lucas Oil Stadium hosting a basketball tournament where you need to bring your binoculars because you got a better seat in the Goodyear blimp.
Well, you hit a good idea. I like this too, because you've got Maryland right in DC area. Right. You know, Rutgers is New York City. Michigan State, would they use Detroit as kind of their home? Minnesota has it. We are just solving problems like crazy here, Dustin. And you right? know what? As a fan, you're changing these from just a common game. You're turning them into an event. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think that's different. And I think it would draw more of a crowd and also be a great TV event.
Oh, for sure. And you know what I would do, because the Big Ten insists on doing this, is these are stupid to me. I don't mind the 20-game schedules. I hate that they play two games in December, then you go back to a non-conference schedule, and then you jump back.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to do that, why not do it in that December window? Because a lot of times, Jim, these home games, kids might be home on holiday break, Christmas break. And so that gives you an opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We know that this isn't going to be a traditional, Assembly Hall or Mackey Arena or Breslin Center or, you know, throw insert name Pinnacle Bank Arena. It's not going to be that traditional environment because everybody's on break. Why don't we move this to Detroit? Why don't we move this to Indianapolis or to Madison Square Garden? So I think that there is a market for it there. I'm all on board with this idea. If the Big Ten doesn't jump on board with it, I don't know what the problem is. Because I think this is a good idea, especially because you do play two games in December, and they're usually right back-to-back, so you solve that problem right there, too.
I like it. Like, they do holiday tournaments anyway.
Yeah.
Just make it a holiday, you know, extravaganza of Big Ten games. And like I said, how about doing it in multiple locations? You know, we'll have something at the Garden, something in Indianapolis. I love it, Dustin. You and I can meet up there. All right, that's it for quarter number three. When we get back quarter four, I'm going to ask Dustin about the future. Stay tuned for that. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim. He's Dustin Schutte, our special guest for today. Before we get going with this fourth quarter segment, Dustin, it's been so much fun to talk to you. See, I'm going to put pressure on you while we're recording, okay?
Oh, boy.
Everybody's listening, so you'll be stuck with your answer. Am I going to be able to get you back on our show again?
Absolutely. I love doing this show. I always liked it. It was a long year and a half when I was unable to do this show, so I'm excited to join as much as possible.
Okay, there we go. I needed to lock you in while we're recording and people are witnesses to it, Dustin. Anyway, you and I, quarter three, we saw some of the Big Ten scheduling issues they're going to have with the other sports. Now, I want to talk to you about the future of the game and where we're headed, because it's just gotten absolutely crazy. If we're getting it, we haven't even gotten to the 12-team playoffs.
Yeah.
And we're already talking 14 teams. Does this make any sense to you?
Well, I think it goes back to an earlier point we were talking about, and that's everything revolves around money. And the more teams that you include into a playoff, the more money that's going to be on the table. So from that perspective, it makes sense. But, I mean, I'm in favor of the 12-team playoff, because I think – when you look at the college football season, and I know a lot of people are still stuck back in the 80s and 90s, and certainly I understand because I've been there too, where college football was always unique in the fact that every game in the regular season mattered in terms of a national championship. And back then, every game mattered in terms of bowl eligibility as well. But now, when you have players opting out, and you have the bowl games that just don't mean as much anymore unless you're playing in a New Year's Six, and sometimes even those games, players by the dozens are opting out of those games. So I think with the 12-team playoff, what's really good is those games are going to matter for longer stretches of time. And so I think that that's a really good improvement. But when we talk about already wanting to expand to 14 teams, and we're looking at conference expansion to 18 teams in the Big Ten and 16 in the SEC, nobody thinks that's the end of the road. So to me, and I know I think we've talked about this, I'm just curious as to when in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, when does it become Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, LSU, USC, Clemson, some of these other programs joining together and saying, hey, why are we propping up Indiana? Why are we propping up Texas Tech? Let's go form our own division, make a lot of money, or our own conference, make a lot of money. And then you'll have like almost, I've heard the comparison in soccer to like a Premier League, basically. And I feel like that's the direction we're heading. I don't know. I mean, that's what I think the future's going to look like for college athletics. When it happens, I don't know. But that's just the direction I see this kind of trending right now.
Well, I understand, and I do think there's going to be a major change, as if there hasn't been already. But I think there will be a change going on with how the conferences are set up. I think the next tipping point is if Florida State could escape the ACC. Once that precedent is set, Clemson is as good as gone, North Carolina's gone, Miami's gone. We all know that. And then there will be some other entity, whether it's under the NCAA or not. I think there will be something else. But the one thing I have trouble with is, as you said, let's get rid of the bottom of the barrel. Let's get rid of the Indianas, the Rutgers. Then it'll always be against two good teams playing no matter what. The problem with that is if you took just like the top 25 or 30 programs in the country, Dustin, somebody still has to be 28th, 29th, and 30th and have a bad record. Now, if you don't have Indiana to beat up on anymore or Vanderbilt to beat up on anymore,
yeah,
who's it going to be? Is it going to be Mississippi State or Nebraska? Somebody has to be that bottom of the league. And my thinking is those teams who are in the top 30, the one way to make sure you're not at the bottom, have another 10 or 20 teams in this who can be the bottom feeders. And the Vanderbilt is happily doing it because right, they get a great payday for it. So that I just don't know if those upper echelon teams are willing to sacrifice one of their own to be at the bottom of the conference.
Yeah, I understand for sure. And I think the bigger question would then be, what does, and I'm just going to keep using this term because I don't have a better one, what does this Premier League look like? Would it be, if it's 10 to 12 teams, you probably don't have enough teams. You're probably going to step outside and play, you know, we'll schedule non-conference quote-unquote games against Indiana, Vanderbilt, Rutgers, you know, throw in another team, Baylor, whoever you want to throw in there, whatever. So that might be one way, and then you've got this Super League of 12 to 16, because I just wonder if you have those all those name brands, and I certainly understand your point, because none of those teams, they're too prideful. None of them want to finish at the bottom of the conference, even if it's the best of the best. I just wonder if you could sign a mega contract, because imagine having Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida State, and they're all playing each other every single week. I mean, I know we do already have a level of that right now, but I just wonder what kind of money that would draw in when you have all the biggest names in one Premier League. And as you mentioned, money talks. So if Ohio State can increase by 25% by making this move, all those schools can increase by 25%. Are they okay being at the bottom for a couple years? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation, I think, on both, because I'm not dismissing your point. I think it's a really good one. It's just when you look at the money that could be involved in the way we've already seen college football and college sports in general transform, that would be, in my opinion, the next big move.
Well, I'm just not sure. First of all, I think there's more name brands. It's easier for us as Big Ten people maybe to look at the Southeast Conference because we could do it
right
without that same passion. So if you look at the Southeast Conference, Vanderbilt comes to mind as mm-hmm. someone you could scuttle, all right? Who else?
I would think you would jettison Mississippi State, maybe Missouri.
Wait. Stop one second. You mean that Missouri team that finished in the top 10, won double-digit games, and beat Ohio State in the bowl game? Is that the Missouri team you were talking about?
That's the Missouri team I'm talking about. I just don't think they have the same brand recognition. Because you could go... We'll tie it back into the Big Ten just as a better example. Purdue 2 years ago was in the Big Ten championship game. But I think if you asked Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, could they survive without Purdue? I think they're giving you a hell yeah with a thumbs up on that one. So I think Missouri kind of falls into that same category. And you could probably throw in like an Arkansas. I know there's like the SEC is just kind of weird with their donors and how much money they actually make. There's a lot of weird tie-ins down there, but I think that there are some teams you could jettison. But to your point, I do think that there's a lot of quality competition in there and a lot of big name brands that would bring in a lot of money.
There are, and just combining those two conferences, you're already up to 34 teams, and I would find it hard now in the Big Ten, you know, could you say Rutgers? Could you say Indiana? Yeah. Could you say Purdue? And by the way, you know, I think everyone understands Purdue making the conference championship game has something to do with that Big Ten West, you know, which, you know.
Are you sure? Getting there with an 8-4 record isn't ideal?
I'm going out on a limb, you know, in my assessment of the Big Ten West. But you know, along with those 34 teams, even if you get rid of a handful, get down to 30, you still have, I imagine, Clemson and Florida State, Notre Dame. They all have to be part of this. And, you know, have we decided that the Big 12, there's nobody in the Big 12 worthy of being part of this?
I've determined that, yes, they are not. With Texas and Oklahoma leaving, there might be what? Oh, man, who would you throw in that conversation? I know that's detracting from your point, but that got my head spinning a little bit.
But well, how about, you know, I think Utah has proven they now have a history.
Good point.
You know, I know Colorado has been bad for a long time, but, you know, they do have a history. And I realize I don't want to get carried away with, you know, Deion Sanders and the interest there. But I also think, do you want to eliminate, you know, both Arizona and Arizona State as possibilities? And I don't understand TV perfectly, but I do think there's so much fan interest in some of those places. Like you mentioned Mississippi State. I would think, you know, based on recent records, someone, you might say, oh, could we jettison Auburn, for example?
Yeah.
Auburn is football crazy.
Right.
And, Penn State played at Auburn two seasons ago. There's no way in the world that they're going to let this happen without them being part of it. So that's why I'm not as ready to make it like a third. I think it needs to be 48 minimum, if not more.
Well, and I think to your point, again, I'll bring the Big Ten back into it with your point about Auburn. I mean, this is the reason that what you spoke to in drawing ratings and being football crazy, that's a huge reason why, for lack of a better term, I will say Nebraska kind of got screwed in the draws that it did with the Big Ten East, because they have a crazy fan base. They're going to tune in whether they're 11-0 or 0-11. So that's why they drew Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State every single year, because they knew it would draw a crowd. So I think that you do have a legitimate point. Even teams that have been down and have struggled in recent seasons, whether that's, you know, Auburn, Nebraska, whoever it might be, there's still an audience there. And a lot of these places do have a big football fandom. So it's just an interesting, like, this is the kind of stuff we could debate for hours on end, because it's just, and the funny thing, Jim, as we wrap up, is like 10 years ago, if you would have told me this was going to happen, I would have said, no way, 14 teams is more than enough. It's going to end right there. And we're already talking about how are they going to expand to 30 teams.
And you know what? The one thing I think we can be sure of going forward is something is going to happen to separate the haves and the have nots. The question is just going to be, where's that line drawn for the haves? And I know, and I've talked about this on previous shows, I just feel like, you know, we use the expression, somebody has to be the Washington Generals. Somebody has to lose these games, and you need those teams to be part of this. But anyway, Dustin, thank you so much for joining us. Fantastic. We're going to have you on more often. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.